Hello, everyone. This is Pastor James Oliver. Yesterday, our message did not get recorded correctly, so I'm up here at the church on Monday evening, and I'm just going to do at least a walkthrough of yesterday's message because I believe that it is a great message that we all need to hear from time to time. Waking up on Sunday mornings has gotten to be more difficult for me since I'm now playing a part in The Promise here in Glen Rose, Texas. I'm playing Pharisee too, and I tend to not get to bed sometimes until almost 1 o'clock in the morning because after the show you need to wind down a little bit. You have to wash off all that makeup, and typically I get to bed between, 12, midnight, and 1 a.m., whereas I usually like to go to bed at about 10. So it's been kind of crazy these last several weeks and trying to adjust my sleep schedule accordingly, and it's just been kind of tough. So whenever I get up early on Sunday morning between 5 and 6 a.m. to start getting ready to be at the church by 7, I'm really tired. I am usually worn out by the time that I get up to the church and I start turning on everything. And I come into the church up here, I turn on all the lights, and then I get in there to the coffee pot and I turn on the coffee pot. And then I come in here and do a run through the entire message just to check out the timing and everything, make sure that that's going to go good. But let me back up to the coffee pot for just a second and heating up that coffee. How many of you guys listening to this message like to drink coffee? Probably quite a few of you. I know a lot of people that really, really, really enjoy coffee. But how should coffee be drank? Should coffee be drank scalding hot, or should it be ice cold, like a Frappuccino from Starbucks or whatever? People have different preferences, and this is where I'm a little bit different, right? So a few years ago, whenever I first started drinking coffee, because it was the only thing free at the office where I worked besides water, and I'm not a big water fan, I started drinking coffee, and I started off putting sugar into the coffee and those vanilla flavored creamers and all this stuff. And then I realized that my body did not adjust very well to sugar. It was making me irritable and angry, so I had to quit all sugar. So I haven't had that in quite some time. So then I decided, well, I'm going to start putting Splenda into my coffee. So I started using Splenda and regular creamer. Then I started reading on the internet that Splenda is, the devil sits there in hell and mixes that stuff up or whatever. So I'm kidding. But Splenda is not some good stuff for your body. So I decided, okay, the only thing I got left here is some creamer. So I'm just going to put creamer in my coffee. And that's where I've been for quite some time now, probably the last year. Nothing but black coffee with some creamer in it. And that's it. But then I step out of there and I go to the cold water fountain. And I put a good amount of water into the coffee. And that serves two purposes for me. Number one, it takes that thick, strong coffee that they make up there at work, because they put way too much of the coffee grounds into the filter. So it lowers the strength some to make it to where I can actually drink the coffee. And number two, it makes it so I don't like to sip on any kind of drink. So I don't really like hot drinks. I prefer, cool drinks. But my coffee, I kind of like it lukewarm. Like just a lot warm, Not hot, not cold, just warm. And I know that that's going to sound disgusting to some of you guys, but that's just my preference for coffee. So now I want to tell you guys about my Christian walk for the last 34 years. I distinctly remember being 6 years old at a church in Dallas and asking Jesus to come into my heart and be the King and the Lord over my entire life. But I didn't always stick to that, right? I never did just completely and totally give over to God for many, many, many years. It was like this roller coaster of ups and downs in my spiritual walk, until one day a few years ago at my office here in Glen Rose, Texas, in my computer repair shop, my brother shared a video with me by a Christian pastor named Francis Chan. It was called Balance Beam. If you're listening to this, go to YouTube and look up Balance Beam by Francis Chan. You'll love that video. But that video made me start thinking, and I wanted to see some more stuff by this guy, Francis Chan. So I did a search, and the very first video that came up was called Lukewarm and Loving It. And guys, that message changed my life. I found myself that evening on my knees in my office at home, just praying to God, I don't want to be lukewarm, God. I want to be on fire for you. I need to have your help to do that because I don't want to be lukewarm. And I'm going to tell you guys why here in just a second, why I didn't want to be lukewarm. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Now, I want to explain Revelation just a little bit. It's the last book in the Bible, so you're going to turn all the way to the end. But it was written by the Apostle John, who is also said to be the one that Jesus loved. Revelation was a revelation, which is... Revelation is it's literally a revelation or a divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something relating to human existence or the world. And God gave this revelation to John, where he came into God's presence and was shown a lot of things. And some of those things were about end times. And I want to look at this today because I want to make sure that I am very clear about what I believe, so that I can put Jesus out in front always. As a teacher, I've always got James 3:1 in the back of my mind, that I will be judged stricter because I am teaching God's Word. And guys, that scares me. So I want to make sure that I teach exactly as the Lord would have me. I want to teach directly from the Holy Bible. So that's what I want to accomplish today. So in the part that we're going to read today, God is sending out angels, and this angel is going to the church at Laodicea. It's a town. So we're going to begin in verse 14. So Revelation 3, verse 14. And the angel of the church of Laodicea write, "The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you either were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Some translations say, "vomit you out of my mouth." "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, in white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on the throne, as I also conquered and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So here's what the church at Laodicea knew, right? They knew what lukewarm, nasty water meant. See, they lived about 6 miles from a place where there were hot springs. They would actually go there and they would bathe in these hot springs, and it had some healing properties to it. Well, one time they decided to build some aqueducts to have that water brought into their town. But by the time that it arrived that 6 miles, it was lukewarm and it was putrid and it was nasty smelling and it was gross. It was lukewarm. And you would, if you were to taste that water, you would literally like vomit or spit it out of your mouth. In contrast to that, they also had mountains nearby, and it had cold springs there, and they tried to bring that water into their town, but the cold water, by the time that it arrived, it was also lukewarm and nasty and putrid. It smelled terrible. If you were to taste it, you would spit it out of your mouth. In this passage, Jesus is telling that church that they've become like that nasty water, that they're neither hot nor cold, that they're lukewarm. Guys, this is a warning to the church here. And I believe that it's a warning to all churches who can end up becoming neither hot nor cold, just kind of on the fence. They talk about doing things, but they never really get out and do them. Here at Cornerstone, we're pretty good It's setting up things to go do, and then we actually go out and do them. We have a ministry coming up that we're going to be going to a nursing home, and we're going to be ministering to the people there, and we're going to make that happen. Because at Cornerstone, we try to be vigilant in areas outside the church as well as inside the church as well. So we try to get out and make things happen. What happens is some of these churches is it becomes about what they do inside of the borders of the church. They want to meet on Sundays or Wednesdays, Sunday evenings and mornings. And they get together on those days and at those times. And outside of that, they're not really walking with a close relationship to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we have to be very careful that we don't just show up on Sundays and we worship our God, our Creator, on just Sundays. And then Monday through Saturday, we're living a completely different life. How many of you guys listening to this recording have actually heard it said, a lukewarm Christian? That's usually said about a believer who just isn't really doing anything for the kingdom. They live in the safety of having proclaimed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but that's where it ended for them in their spiritual walk. And guys, there is so much more. So much more. But it's hard to live in America, one of the greatest nations on earth, and be a follower of Christ. And here's why: we're so comfortable here. We struggle, and yet we have so much. Guys, I have 6 vehicles. I have 3 cars, 2 trucks, and a van. Albeit only 3 of those are actually running right now, but I have 6 vehicles, and I have 4 motorcycles, 3 BMWs and the Suzuki, out of which only one of those are actually going right now. But I have all those. I have a home that's almost paid for. I have a great job that pays well. I have a wonderful family and a wife and kids who love me, and I love them. I have great friends. If I need something, I have good credit. If I want more money, I could find ways to do that. My point is that we all live comfortable lives here in the United States. Very few of us in this nation experience homelessness. Even the homeless can beg and make money. Some of them even make more than what I do, working every single day. In contrast to our lives here in the United States, there are people in other countries who live each day living in tents, or maybe no covering at all other than what they can scrape together to put over themselves. They have to eat what they catch, or what the hunters in the villages go out and manage to kill to bring back for everyone. They don't have refrigerators to store the food in, so whenever the hunters, or they go out and kill something and bring it back to eat, or they gather something and they bring it back, they have no storage like we do for the food, so they have to eat it rather quickly before it becomes of no use to them. See, those people, whenever the message of Jesus is brought to them, they get it. They get why Jesus would tell the rich man that it's so hard to get into heaven. They see that we, the rich people of America, we rely on ourselves so much. We have money, we have plenty of food, we have huge homes, we have so much that it's hard when we have so much to look for God in everything. Whereas the poor, they're leaning on God to provide a meal for their hungry stomachs. They rely on God for protection against the elements, and in some cases even predators. In some cases, believers have their own people to worry about. We don't have that fear, so it's easy to build up a Jesus that wants us to be rich, a Jesus that wants our attention on Sunday mornings and special events that the church does. I want to be clear that I'm not judging. I'm concerned. I'm concerned for me, for you. I want us to be on fire for Jesus, like the song that we sang yesterday morning. set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want us to live that. I don't want that any one of us should be lukewarm and spit out of God's mouth. When I read that message, I don't get that these are actual Christians that God is spitting out. It doesn't sound like he's talking about people who have taken up their cross and followed Jesus. Instead, God calls them wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Does that sound like God speaking about one of his children? It doesn't to me, and that scares me. A few years ago, in my time by the cross at the Methodist camp here in Glen Lake Methodist camp, I was taking a seminary class there for a weekend, and our teacher, Joey, took us all up to the cross. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about this as well. He had us pray for 1 hour, just like Jesus did the disciples. And whenever I'm out there praying, I prayed like everything on my heart, everything that I could think of. I prayed for my family, for people I knew had requests. I just poured out my heart to God as long as I possibly could. And then I just listened. Whenever I was listening, I heard a voice, not my own, tell me two words, and I still to this day don't fully understand everything about those two words, but it was be real. And it wasn't like I was being fake or there's any part of me not being real. It was more like make Jesus be real to people. Make him be real in your life. Make him be real in others' life as well. See, I lack at that sometimes. I mess up, as I'm sure that we all do at times. See, it's where we say that we're a Christian, but we don't really trust God in all that he says. We don't believe that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. We don't believe that we should love him more than everything else, including our own families and our own stuff. We don't believe that we should love our neighbors the way that he does. Guys, there used to be people that I hoped wouldn't be in heaven. I didn't want to spend time with them up there. They annoy me. Why would I want to spend? I can't spend 5 minutes with them here on earth. Why would I want to spend eternity with them in heaven? And I had to confess that and repent from that. I want to see all people go to heaven. I want to see all people have a relationship with Jesus Christ and get to spend an eternity with him, because the alternative to that is a real place called hell, and I don't want to see anybody go there. We don't trust him whenever he says that forgiveness is the best way. Instead, we harbor feelings against people. We don't trust him when he says to love our spouse the way that he loves them, and instead we say unkind things to them or treat them in an unloving way. Guys, everybody out there is carrying around a microscope, watching for people to mess up, watching for followers of Christ to make mistakes, to give them a reason to not believe. I read an article this week about Donald Trump messing up again. He was at a church in Iowa somewhere, and they were passing around the communion plate. And whenever it got to him, he put some money into it. And of course, they're, ha, 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 look at him. He put money into the communion plate. He didn't know that's supposed to go in the offering plate, and he's supposed to take from the communion plate and do the Lord's Supper, observing that. And instead, they had their microscopes out, and they were looking and watching what he was doing. And I read an article also not too long ago that Donald Trump is a new believer, that he recently accepted Christ. And guys, I don't know about you guys, but we don't make Jesus the Lord of our life and instantaneously know all the ordinances of the church. So we can't be judgmental towards someone because they don't know. They've got to learn. And I believe it was James Dobson, that said that he knows the man that led him to Christ not too long ago. So we have to cut some slack to people, but people are constantly watching. wanting to find reason not to believe or trust in God or the things of God. And I believe in, and this is the most important, that trusting God and being on fire for Him is extremely important. So important, in fact, that there appears to be, in Revelation 3, repercussions that are eternal. So wherever you're at listening to this recording, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing that I asked the church to do yesterday. Just bow your head right now. And with your head bowed, with your heart turned towards God, ask Him to point to you, point out to you any area of your life today that you're being lukewarm, that you're not fully letting Him have control. Ask God to help you to be on fire for Him. Tell Him you do not want to be lukewarm any longer. That you don't want to be spit out of His mouth. That you want Him to have total control over your life. And after you've poured out your heart to God, I want you to just listen. Let Him speak to you. He will bring up pictures in your mind of the areas of your life that you may not be quite so hot in, that you may be very cold in, or that you're very lukewarm. Guys, this is very important. Just reach out to Him right now. If you're listening to this recording and you don't believe that there's a God, then I would ask you to just take the time to say, God, show me that You're real. Show me that Your Son, Jesus Christ, is real. Show me how much You love me. If you're earnestly seeking Him, then He'll speak to you. He will show you that He is real. I'm just going to have a little time of quiet now for you to just pray there where you are at. I believe that if you are really seeking God right now, that it says here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. If he's there knocking, let him in. God, I would ask You to show all of us the areas of our lives where we are being lukewarm. God, we sincerely want to be on fire for You. We want to be so passionate about Jesus, so serious about this. We want to be obedient to Him. God, we need You to show us where we're lukewarm. Thank You, Lord. God, we need the Holy Spirit to come in and convict us in areas in our lives where we could be more like Jesus. Father, we just come before You humbly, asking in all reverence to know You more, to feel Your presence this morning, to just know that You know we're crying out to You, that we need You to show us so we can do better. We thank You for Your forgiveness, for Your grace and mercy where we do mess up. But God, we want to serve You better. We want to serve You with every part of our being. You loved us so much that you came to this earth and you died on the cross to forgive us for our sins. You were the ultimate sacrifice, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love, your unconditional love. God, I would ask that if there's anyone that's listening to this recording right now that doesn't know you, that you would just speak to them, that you would show them that you are real and show them how much you love them. God, thank you for always being there for every one of us. God, you are an awesome, awesome, good, good Father. And we love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.